My pews got switched around. There we go. You know, I was wondering, man, by the way, that's some good singing this morning. Amen. It sounds really great. I love, look, every morning is awesome when we come together and we worship our Lord, but I think there's just a little something extra special this morning, and I don't know what it is, but I just feel like God's doing something incredible this morning. Don't you? I really do. I feel like, look, I was telling Avery as I was sitting over there, I just looked at her and she said, "You look a little nervous." I said, "I am nervous. I don't know what it is this morning. I really am. I don't know what it is, but there's something just feels different this morning, and it's a good feeling. And I maybe it's just my mind and my heart's just so in tune with God, and maybe I've been distracted. You know, I don't know. I did tell Avery though. I wonder, does communion really count for me, if I leave a crumb of the cracker in my beard? Because Avery looked over at me and she was like, "Hey, you still have a little there." And I told her, I said, "You know what? I was just saving it because I may need a little extra to the spirit while I'm up here. And I'm just going to, you know, I really do feel like this is going to be a difficult lesson because I've got so much to say. I feel like I'm trying to climb up a ladder in quick speed, just run up a ladder. And I'm worried that I'm going to fall. But I'm not going to, because I know that there's good things that are going to happen this morning. So what I want you to do, I'm going to be talking fast. I've got a lot of points that I want to share. And I've also got something, like I told you, it's going to be a little different this morning. So at the end of my lesson, we'll end up, we're going to do something different. And so I want to make sure I've got time for everything. And I've got a way of not staying in my time frame. And this might be one of those mornings, so I'm just giving you fair warning. I'm going to do the best I can, but it's not because I'm just trying to see how long I can talk. It's because this is some information that I think is going to be really detrimental, or let me put it a different way, vital to your life. I think it's going to make a huge difference for you, because I know it's been working on me since I've begun to study for this. So look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're gonna start with where our text was in verse 4. It doesn't hurt to read the same text twice. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." How often? Always. This is an ongoing thing. It's a lifestyle. Rejoicing in the Lord is a lifestyle that you live. It's I'm choosing to live a joyful life, rejoicing in my Lord, no matter what the outside pressures are that I'm facing. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? It's always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, I love this because this is the ending to the book that we've been studying, right? The Philippians is called the letter of joy. We didn't do so great. All right, so Philippians is called the letter of joy. There it is. It's the letter of joy. And Paul's writing it from? We didn't do too well. Paul's writing it from? Prison. Paul's writing the most joyful letter in all the New Testament, and he's sitting in a jail cell, not sure if he's going to live or die, and yet he's still able to write a letter that still speaks to us 2,000 years later to encourage us and motivate us and to help us in our situations. It's pretty incredible what Paul is doing in this book. In this letter. And here he is at the end of this letter. And the whole letter has been on your mind. Right? Our series is to follow me. That's our yearly thing. We want to follow Jesus closer than we ever have before this year. And I pray that you're taking that challenge and saying it's not just some sermons that I'm listening to, but that it's something I'm trying to live out in my life and in my mind and in my heart. But I want to follow you closer. And I want to follow you, this is the series we're in, to a new mind. Follow me to a new mind. And Paul's book is all about your mindset, and it's about thinking different. He's telling you that what you think about what you think matters. He's telling you it's important, the thoughts that you have, the things that you think, what you put into your mind is important. So think on good things. And so he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near." And then as he's ending his book, of all the things that he can talk about with our minds, in trying to reshape the way that we think, here's how he chooses to end it. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Everybody say that. The peace of God. One more time. The peace of God. And if you're an underliner, underline that. Underline it. Because I want you to see something. Literally, this is an illustration from the words in our English language that you're about to see come to life. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what? Your minds. Okay? The peace of God is going to guard your hearts and minds when you choose not to worry but to pray. And in that moment, you will experience the what? The peace of God. And so I want you to circle. Underline the word, the phrase peace of God. I want you to circle hearts and minds. And then keep going. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Think on these things. Pray. It's easy to say, Paul. If you were in my shoes. No, wait a second. Where is he? I mean, come on. What right do we have? Think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the what? God of peace. Earlier it was the peace of God. Do you see that in your text? I want you to underline that phrase now. The God of peace. The God of peace. Put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Do you realize that in this text, he's saying, don't be anxious, because Paul knows that we are what? Anxious. He knows we're worried. He knows we're going to face circumstances in our life like what he's in that are going to cause us to panic and cause us to stress and cause us to worry. I'm really good at worrying. How about you? I'm great at it. I'm like the king of worriers. And this is one of those things, one of these topics that I feel like, I want to get better as I get older, but I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm getting worse. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm about to preach about that in just a second. So hold on. I got to get back to my note. I told you I'm going to go long if I'm not careful. But the peace of God and the God of peace, and what's sandwiched in between? What are those two words you circled? Your heart and mind. And what's on your heart and mind? Anxiety. Your worry and your heart and your mind is sandwiched between the God of peace and the peace of God. Isn't that incredible? It's a literal illustration through the words of the text. I love that. I love looking at that. That's something Avery pointed out to me at one point. The God of peace and the peace of God, and there's our worry sandwiched right between. Isn't that incredible? And by the way, it says that when you pray, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that's not just peace from God, it's peace of God. It's His peace. You see that? So when you pray to God, when you're worried and when you're scared, do you realize God is telling you that you can have my mind for a moment? You can have a part, you can think like God. I know that sounds almost arrogant a little bit. It's like, whoa, I've never said anything like that. But yeah, no. You can have the mind of God for a moment, and it's when you enter His throne room. And when you begin to pray, and it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A spiritual peace, a peace that's why it passes all understanding. Because it's not human peace. It's not man-made peace. It's the peace of God. And there's something extra special about that. Amen? You with me this morning? This is about to be life-changing, because here's what I believe. We've in our series, we've talked about the single mind, the submissive mind, the spiritual mind, and I think we're ending with the most important of all those lessons. And so I hope that you're ready this morning to get your shovels out, because we're going to take it a little deeper. Because we're talking about the secure mind. The secure mind. And it's about dealing with worry and anxiety. And worry and anxiety is something that we all deal with, right? Like, there's not a single person in here. If you're the one that's saying that you're not worried about something, then you need to go look in the mirror for a little while and rethink some things, because I know that you're worried because you're human. And worry is something that we all face. It's so applicable. That's why Paul ends his letter with this, because he knows that every single person in his Philippian church is struggling with worry. They're worried, is Paul going to be okay? Is he going to come back to us? Are we going to make it through all this stuff that we're facing? Are we going to have a split? Are we going to be divided? Are we going to be killed like Paul's being killed? What's going to... They're worried, and we do too. You know? I've got a long list of things I worry about, and some of them I think, yeah, that's worth worrying about though, right? Like that's a serious thing. But then there's other things where I look at it and I go, you're really worried about that? But I am. And so it's so applicable. Look, some sermons and some things that I preach, whenever I'm looking up some information and trying to find some things, do you know that it's really difficult for me to find material on certain subjects? But worry is one of the easiest subjects for me to find things on. Because people are posting about it all the time. There's YouTube videos about it. There's blogs and there's all sorts of things. Articles, books, all on worry. Because we all struggle with it and we all need help with worry. I tried to look up because, you know, I'm not really good at this kind of stuff, but I wanted to know, like, where is worry on, like, the search engine of Google? Like, how many people search for the word worry? You know? And I couldn't even find that information. I don't even know how to do it. I found all sorts of things I wasn't looking for and didn't want, and found myself in certain self-help stuff that's like trying to tell me about my worry and will help you diagnose your problem. And I was like, okay, I'm getting out of this. But I'm just going to guess, okay? It's one of the most searched things. It's got to be. Because we all worry. There's Google searches, blogs, articles, sermons. Do you know there's even apps on your phone to help you deal with worry? Look, I want to get my phone real quick. I left it over here. Let me come get this. I know this is strange. Here comes your preacher down to grab his phone during a sermon. But if God calls me, I need to answer. No. And so there's actually apps on here. I even downloaded one last night. It's called the Stress Scan. There's an app for everything. The Stress Scan. And so you put your thumb on your little touchpad, or it's something with your camera. I don't know if you just stare at your camera. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. I tried to do it, but it was going to make me sign up and do all these things. I'm like, I ain't doing that. But the point of the app, I read the description about it, it's to help diagnose whether or not you're stressed. Thanks. I needed you to tell me that. Of course I'm stressed, but then it's going to give you little inspiring things every day that are supposed to help you relieve your stress. I mean, it's kind of cool, but I need more than this for my anxiety. What about you? You with me? But here's the problem. This is often where I search for the answers. I'm stressed and I'm worried, so I'm going to go to Facebook and I'm going to post this message and I'm going to display what's going on in my life so that maybe somehow, some way, somebody can give me something to help me with my anxiety. And I fall into that trap so easily. What about you? And so today, what I'm going to talk about with your secure mind is that Scripture gives us that answer. So let's look at it. Why am I anxious? Why am I anxious? Well, Paul understands the answer because he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything what? Pray. Pray and let your requests be made known to God. Don't allow your fear to control your faith. Allow your faith to control your fear. Allow your faith to drive your fear. That's what Paul would say. How do you do that? By praying. So he tells us the answer right off the bat. He says, I want you to pray more because then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So my point is this, don't worry, just pray. Don't worry, just pray. And so if you're here and you need to respond, we're going to offer an invitation now. So what? Is that not enough? You want more? I mean, I appreciate it. And Paul, look, Paul's right. He just gave you the answer, and it's about prayer. But you know what? Let me give you a little bit more from this. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I love the Psalms because it's chock full of prayers, and it helps me to understand what prayer is and how prayer works and how prayer can help me. And this is a psalm written by David, the man after God's own heart, and he's being pursued by Paul. He's becoming the king of a nation trying to lead all these people. Do you think he has some things to worry about? He's got literal enemies on every side trying to kill him every day. If there's anybody that has reason to worry or to fear, it's David, and he writes this prayer in Psalm 139, start in verse 17. Check this out. David says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast are the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grain of the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Now listen to this. "If only you would slay the wicked, O God." Well, that's pretty intense, David. "If only you would kill the wicked away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent, Lord. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies." But check out this transition that takes place in this next section. David's talking about the worry, and he looks at all the enemies who are pursuing him. But then he makes this transition, and instead of focusing on his enemy, he focuses on his inner me. I know that's kind of silly, isn't it? It's one of those little preacher things. Oh, I see what you did there, Nathan. But it's really, that's the key. That's the key, because this switch is so important. And when you read through the Psalms, you'll see that David often makes this switch. And he says, look at verse 23. "Search me, O God. Search me and know my," what? "Look inside of me, God." In Philippians, Paul calls it the depth of insight. You remember that? Paul calls it the depth of insight. It's like you go to the doctor and they put a scope down inside. They don't just look at the outside to see what's going on. Like, they get inside. I want to see what's actually happening on the inside. Right? I don't want some phone to just tell me what's going on with an app of why I'm where. I want somebody that can look inside my heart and my soul and speak to what's really happening on the inside. And so David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know," the NIV puts it like this, "my anxious thoughts." Know my anxious thoughts. And that's a proper translation, because the Hebrew for the word thoughts means disquieted thoughts. And I think the best translation is, in this moment, used by the NIV. And I know some of you probably aren't, that's not your favorite version, but here they get it right in this thought-for-thought translation. It's my anxious thoughts. My disquieted thoughts. So know me and test me and know my anxious thoughts. He's not hiding it. I'm scared and I'm worried, God, and I'm anxious. So search me and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into everlasting. Here's the question. Wow, that got really loud, didn't it? Here's the question. Why am I anxious? Why am I anxious? Why am I worried? I think that's... I'm sorry, I've got to try to move that away. I'm getting loud. It's my fault. I moved the mic. It's not... Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, I know it's your fault." Know my anxious thoughts. Well, why am I anxious? Why am I worried? And I think there's some several reasons. And I want you to write these things down. I want you to take some notes, okay? Even if you're not a note taker, I think this is important for you to get this information, because I know that this is going to be important for you. And maybe you're sitting in a season of life right now where you're not as worried as you usually are, but you will be tomorrow. So take notes. Why am I anxious? Number one, intake. Write that down. Intake. What am I putting into my life? What is my intake? Look, I'm going to show you something about... Where is it? Here's my phone. I'm going to show you something really cool. You know, there is a deal about your phone that I found out recently. Avery and I found it out together, and it's kind of embarrassing that we found this out, because your phone tracks how much screen time you use. I wish it didn't do that, because then when I see that number in front of my face, I go, oh. And not only that, but my particular phone and Avery's phone does the same thing, and a lot of yours probably does too, will even send me a notification to tell me how much screen time I've used this week. I don't like to see that, because it's a whole lot more time than I wish it was. And we're growing in a generation that's consumed with these things. The movies we watch, the music we listen to, the things that we see on this phone, they create stress and they create worry within us. What's your intake? What are you putting into your life? You're complaining about worry, but you're putting all this junk inside of your life and you're looking at all this stuff. But then you want to call out to God and say, help me with my worry. But then you go back to this. I'm going to show you something really cool. The phone, y'all might not be able to see this very well. I'm going to show you anyway. It's got a lot of really cool apps on it. It's a really neat thing. And I learned something about my phone recently that was, I didn't even know. This is an iPhone 8, okay? But I think your phone may allow you to do this too. There's this new thing that's come out, all right? And on the side, there's this button that when you hold it down, you just swipe it like that, and it shuts off. It's crazy. I don't know how that happens. Did you know that your phone could do that? You know, when's the last time you turned your phone off? You know, we're complaining to God. We're going, God, please help me. God, I don't want to worry anymore, but our intake is full of garbage. What am I putting into my life? I would say that our teenagers right now, this is the generation where I feel like me being a youth minister, I was surrounded by middle school kids who are freaking out over stuff they shouldn't even know about. I'm not kidding. You parents know what I'm saying. You're like, yeah, amen, right? Yeah. Your kids are freaking out about stuff and you're going, I didn't even know that. Put the phone down. Where did you learn about that? I saw it on the internet. Every time we get sick, we look up our diagnosis on the internet. And it's always going to be the worst case scenario. Stop looking it up on the internet. My family, we do that all the time. I do that all the time. I get sick. I got a headache. I'm starting to run a little fever. I've got a cough. Oh, no. I'm dying. It's the worst case scenario every time. But it's not just that. It's every time somebody calls, every time somebody texts, every time somebody emails, they're asking for more of my time, more of my energy. I can't do this anymore. Stop it. Turn it off. Turn it off. You know, we're literally keeping our phones in our back pockets and we're walking around all day and the phone's just, every time we're trying to get better, it zaps us and we're wondering why we're stressed all the time. Turn it off. Now look, I'm as serious as I can be right now. What's your intake? We're asking God for help, but we're not changing what we put into our mind and into our life. I didn't finish my illustration. You know, my screen time, you want to know, don't you? How much time are you spending on it, preacher? It's actually shocking how much time I'm spending on it. Now, I'm going to defend myself a little bit because I think that's the natural reaction we're all going to go through. Whenever I'm about to open up, I'm going to give you my excuse first and then tell you what's up, all right? So my excuse is this. It counts for GPS, too, and I don't know how to drive, all right? I still don't know where anything is. All you people, you know, you come up to me and I'm like, hey, you're like, hey, meet me over here at this place and we're going to meet up there. And I come up to you and I go, hey, where's that at exactly? And you start to explain to me. I'm going to just be honest with you. 90% of the time, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I just smile and I go, yeah, yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that road. Okay. Oh, wait, it has five different names because I live in Leander. And so... I don't know what's going on, but I smile and act like I do. Well, so my screen time was 4 hours a week. 4 hours a week on my phone? And then I looked more closely and it was a day. I'm not kidding. And listen, I'm not in on social media. I'm not that guy. Most people in our generation are on Facebook. Most of you are on Facebook, you know, and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all these different things. And I don't use the social media that way. Now, I think that there's some good to social media and there's also some bad to it. I'm obviously for that. But at some point, you just got to shut it off and build your relationship with your king instead of focusing on what's going on with the rest of the world outside. You get what I'm saying? What's your intake? 28 hours a week. On my phone. I got to preach to myself right now. So Paul, he talks about intake. So my Bible's cool because I have two little markers, so I'm going to put one there because I've got to go back to Philippians because I've got to show you what Paul says about intake. Philippians chapter 4, Paul would say, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think on those things. Put those in. What's your intake? Everybody in this room struggles with anxiety, and you want to know why you're anxious? A lot of times it's because of your intake. You know, believe it or not, I went to a CrossFit gym once. I've eaten so much Mexican food like since I've been here that I've canceled out all the work that I put in at CrossFit. Right? But it's some kind of, the fajita beef around here is amazing. Anyway, but yeah, so I was part of a CrossFit gym, and I actually signed up with Gold's Gym here, although I don't go and don't use it. I pay for it. That's just the way gym memberships work. And so I've got this CrossFit deal, and there's a sign in there, and it's a really cheesy saying, and it says that you can't out-train a bad diet. And I was like, that's cheesy, but that's true. Right? And so then my trainer there and my trainer here, which I signed up at Gold's Gym like what, Avery, like 2 months ago maybe? And I've gone like five times. It's not good. But here and there, they both wanted me to keep what was called a food log. You ever done that? I hate those things. I can't stand them because I've got to actually track what I'm eating and write it down so that somebody else can look at the junk that I'm putting into my life. I already know I'm putting in junk, but they want to know just how much. You know? Well, I had five tacos from Taco Bell and, you know. And I got to write all that stuff down to show them what my intake is, because what they're trying to tell me is that I'll never be able to out-train my bad diet. What they're trying to tell me is that if I want things to change on the outside, I got to change what I'm putting on the inside. Does that sound like a spiritual message to you? You follow me? It's what are you putting into your life? Because you'll never see the results that you want to see until you change what you're putting in. You want to see results. You want to train in a new way. You want to follow Jesus closer than you ever have before. It starts by checking your intake. What am I putting in? Number two. Yeah, we're doing great on time, aren't we? Imbalance. Don't worry, I've only got 7 points. Imbalance. I'm not kidding. But we'll get through. Number two is imbalance. Write that down. When you don't have a sense of priority in life, when your mind is so confused and you're giving the same weight to everything, of course we're going to be anxious. I struggle with this one so much. Everything becomes as important to me as everything else. Nothing has more value than anything else in my life. Because I've not learned how to place proper priorities. I want to share an illustration that I heard from the doctor. And I'm talking about my wife, Dr. Avery Keene. I'm serious. She graduated from physical therapy school here, what, 2 weeks ago? And is now officially Dr. Keene. So I'm really proud of her in getting that. Let's, yeah. There's finally a doctor in the family. And it didn't come from my side of the family. I had to marry into it. But hey, I'm as proud as I can be either way. She did not want me to say anything like this. But anyway, keep going before I get in trouble. She told me this illustration once, and I don't know where you got it from, but it was a really neat thing. She said, life is like you're juggling a bunch of juggling balls. And here's the difference, is that some of the balls that you're juggling in life, you have all these different things that are going on. I mean, like today, I've got VBS rehearsal, and I've got VBS tonight. Don't forget about it. Learn your lines. If you're like that last-minute person out there who still doesn't know the one line that you have, let's get on it. You know, it's do or die tonight, all right? You got VBS, but then you've got your work, you've got your family, you got all these different things, and you're juggling all this stuff. And sometimes you just start to get to juggling so much and all these different things that life gets stressful. You with me? Anybody else feel that? Okay, and here's what she was telling me, is that some of those are rubber balls and some of those are glass. You get what I'm saying? Some of them are rubber and some of them are glass. What happens when you drop a rubber ball? It comes right back up and you can keep going. What happens when you drop a glass ball? There's no getting it back. There's rubber balls and there's glass balls, and we're juggling this thing called life, and we're trying to figure out which one's the most important. And here, I'm here to tell you, you're not an octopus. You got two hands, and you can only juggle so much. And some of you are more talented than I am, because I'm that one-track mind kind of guy, you know? But some of you are really good at all this, but there's going to be a point, and you've already faced it if you've lived long enough, where you've got too many things going on, and things are going to begin to fall, and you're going to get overwhelmed, and you're going to get stressed. And you're not going to know what to do, and you wonder why you're anxious. It's because I'm juggling all these things. Something has got to give. Let's try something. I'm going to say a few phrases, and I want you to tell me whether it's a glass ball or a rubber ball. Now, I don't want you to say it out loud, but I mean, I guess you can if you want to. I want you to think it in your mind. I'm just going to list some things. How about your relationship with your spouse? Is that a glass ball or a rubber ball to you? How about money? How about health? How about others' opinions? How about your spiritual health? Cars. Work. Homework. You're welcome, teenagers. House. You got all these things and you're juggling all these things. You got all these different stresses that are going on. What's the glass ball and what's the rubber ball? It's kind of hard, isn't it? It's not as obvious all the time, but here's the deal. You've got to figure it out because you're not going to keep all those things spinning and something's going to fall. And you don't want to drop that glass ball. You don't want to drop that relationship with your kids. You don't want to drop the spiritual well-being of your family. Those family devos, they're important. That prayer that you say together as you sit around the table instead of just in front of the TV with some TV trays as a family, or one kid's upstairs, one kid's downstairs, he's eating in the room. Yeah, look, fam, I grew up in a family that did that all the time, so I'm not selling something I wasn't a part of as well. But you know what? That meal, that moment that you have, maybe it's just once a week for you, but you sit down as a family at the table and you share a meal and you talk about things. That's a glass ball. Don't drop it for something else that doesn't matter as much as that. And here's the deal. How do you know how to place them? Well, it depends on what lenses you're looking through, because I'm going to tell you right now that if you go to this and try to figure out what's the glass ball and what's the rubber ball, you're going to get a completely different answer than what God's going to give you. There's different lenses. What lenses are you using to see and to prioritize things in your life? Because if you're using spiritual lenses, I promise you, you'll see anxiety leave like you've never experienced before. Imbalance. On Christ, the solid rock, it's sinking sand all around me, and Christ is the solid rock that can help me balance the priorities in my life. He can help me get through things. And so I'm going to stand firm on Him, but the problem is not that the rock is faulty. The problem is that I'm imbalanced on top of it, and Satan's up here trying to push me off. You get what I'm saying? It's not that Christ is imbalanced, it's that I'm imbalanced, and I've got to learn how to stand firm and not allow my anxious thoughts to cast me off the rock. My uncle Larry, it was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis. And it's a terrible disease, and for those of you who have been affected by it or know people who have, it's a difficult thing. And now there's many different levels and variations of MS. But his was so bad that it really, one of the symptoms, there's many symptoms. You got nerve pain, you got all these different things that can happen, but one of the big symptoms is that you can lose balance. He bought a t-shirt that said, "I'm not drunk, I just have MS." And I was like, it was kind of funny, and then I was kind of like, I don't know if that's really appropriate. But it was really funny, because he went from being able to, he was a working man who could take care of himself, and now all of a sudden, in one moment, he's on a walker and can hardly stand up. And then he did get to a cane and started doing a little bit better. But one day he goes to a shopping center. Now, there was this place where they were advertising. You see these little stands that have these things they try to sell you. Well, this one was, for those who have MS, come try these bands on. I'm not a scientist or I'm not a doctor, so I don't understand how all this works. So I'm going to sound like a preacher as I'm saying this, and that's okay. All right. But there's things apparently within you that get out of line that cause you to be off balance. There's, and I don't know how, what kind of particles or things inside of you that get out of line, but apparently you put these bands on. They're made out of titanium, and that titanium is to help realign those things that MS kicks out of control. Now, I don't know exactly how much I believe in things like that typically, but what I know is I know my uncle, okay? And I know that he's no actor. And he's that kind of guy that keeps quiet and keeps to himself, he's not for attention. And so he's not just making this kind of thing up, but he goes in there and he stands and the guy says, "Hold your arms out like this." And so my uncle puts his arms out and he says, "I'm going to push on one side." and I want you to try to resist. Now, my uncle is obviously struggling with balance. You with me? And so the guy pushes down, and of course he stumbles over, and the man actually had to catch him. Then he said, put these bands on it. And he put one on each ankle and one on each wrist. And he said, I want you to just wear these for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to try it again. And he comes back, and he pushes down as hard as he can on one arm, and my uncle just resists and stands there. It was incredible. My uncle was so bad that he couldn't even look up without falling backwards. That's how bad his balance was. Do you know, since that day that he got those bands, he's golfing and owns his own lawn care service. It's called Pawpaw's Lawn Care. I was out playing with him, and he made the putt into the hole, and he reached over on one leg and bent down, grabbed the ball out of the hole, and put it back in his pocket. And I just stopped and said, Larry, did you see what you just did? And he said, I didn't even realize. It's incredible. Things were rebalanced. You know what? That's what Christ wants to do for us. We're standing on a solid rock. Our life is in balance because we're juggling all this stuff and we don't have our priorities straight. And God is like those bands, and prayer is like those bands that come in and they help realign the focus back to where they need to be so that you can stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. Number two is imbalance. We're making great time. Number three, indecision. Indecision. Indecision causes your anxiety. Why am I stressed? Why am I anxious? Because of my indecision. Here's your challenge. I'm going to go quick on this point. But here's your challenge. Make three decisions this week. Three decisions this week and make them firm. Because look, I don't know if you're like me, but somebody comes up to me, especially around here. I talked about Mexican restaurants earlier. Let's just use that as an example. I'm sitting out there and they come up to me. They say, I'm like, man, what should I get? And I sit around and I'm thinking about it for a long time and I can't figure it out. And the waiter comes up to me and I'm like, give me a few more minutes. And he comes back and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to order. I'll take enchiladas. Beef, chicken, or steak? Oh. I don't know which one's the best. Some of you are laughing because that's you, right? You're with me. And so I don't know which one's the best. And then I'm like trusting their opinion to tell me what I should eat, you know? And so finally, I get to order my enchilada. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going with that fajita beef stuff. Like, that stuff is the bomb. I'll take that. And then they say, what? What sauce do you want? And I'm like, well, which sauces do they have? I can't even order my own food because I can't make a decision. So how in the world am I going to make a decision in the big things in life? And I'm kidding at some level. I know I'm joking at some level. But in a way, I'm also not. Some of you are so indecisive and you've gotten like me. I started learning how to deal with... Every time somebody came up and they would ask me to do something, my response is like, yeah, let me get back to you, or I need to think about this, or pray about this, or talk about this. And in reality, I'm not going home and praying or thinking about anything. I'm just putting it off until it's going to come right back around and meet me in the front again. And I'm going to have to face that decision. And you know what I'm doing between the time that I said, let me think about this or pray about this, and the time that it comes right back to my face? I'm worried about it. And I'm stressed about it because I'm too indecisive and I can't make a firm decision. Sometimes you just have to trust that your prayer and your meditation and your faith that God's going to lead you. And sometimes He leads you through your preparation. And sometimes He just leads you in the moment. Make decisions. It'll help you. And sometimes, if you're like me, you make three decisions this week. Be firm about it. I've been kind of thinking about that. And every one of my decisions started with an and ended with an O. You know? It's okay to say no. It's okay. That's still a decision as well. You've got to learn what to juggle, and nobody else can tell you what's important. You've got to find that out for yourself through your prayer with God. Your indecision. You know what else? This one's big. You know what else stifles and keeps you from feeling the peace of God in your prayers? Is integrity. Integrity. It's hard to have peace when you don't have integrity. It's really quiet in here. It's hard to have peace when I have all these secrets that I'm hoping that you don't find out. It's really hard to have peace when I'm hoping my spouse doesn't check my search history on my phone. It's hard for me to have peace when I've got three different Snapchats. One is a decoy and the other two are the ones that I really use. It's hard for me when I know that when I go home, this is what I'm going to participate in, or this is what's going to go on in my life, and I'm not living a life of integrity. It's hard for me to feel the peace of God. I go to God and I say, God, give me peace. And He's going, take off the mask. Take off the mask. I put on the preacher mask and I wear it in front of you. And then I go home and I live a different life. I come to church and I'm a plastic person who's got it all together, but in reality, when I go home and I sit in that recliner, my thoughts are going to wander to some things that I don't want you to know about. It's hard to have the peace of God when you don't have integrity. And sometimes God's just going, I'm just waiting for you to genuinely take off the mask and come to me with the things you're really struggling with. Is it okay if I go over a little bit today? I know some of you got kids, and if you got to go do something like that, we got a few minutes left. I got to keep going. It's hard to have peace when my life is in so many pieces. It's hard for me to have peace when I have a mask in each spot in my life. And sometimes the hypocrisy and the secrets of my life are contradicting the peace that I'm trying to pray for. I'm not condemning you, and I'm not trying to say that that's going to cost you heaven. That's not at all what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say that that lifestyle is costing you some peace. That's why you're worried, and that's why you're stressed. Search me. And know my heart, know my thoughts, David said. Search inside and see that I'm a man of integrity. And also see my anxious thoughts. There's relief in taking off the mask, I'm here to tell you. And there's peace when we open up about the real anxiety that we're facing and the real situations that are going on. Somebody cuts me off in traffic and my whole day's ruined. It might be something deeper that I'm struggling with that I haven't figured it out yet. Not only that, but your intentions. Number five, your intentions are why you can't find that peace at times. Be intentional about every single thing you do. It'll help your anxiety levels when you're prepared and you're intentional in life. A lot of the problem is that I'm not intentional with the things that I do, and especially when I'm sitting in a church setting. I told you earlier, this is something I've struggled with. And it's something that we'll all battle with, because there's going to be some days where you're just tired and you don't want to go to a church. You don't want to go to Connect Group. You don't want to go to these different things. But you know what? At some point, you just got to suck it up and go, right? And so I've got that battle going on in my mind. And so what ends up happening is when I do go, sometimes it's a check. I did that. Come on, are you there with me? You following me? It's because I'm not intentional about it. Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't just show up to a church service to say, check, I'm just waiting to hear a good lesson from a preacher or a bad lesson from a preacher. Don't just show up and say, I'm just going to sit in my pew and do my time. Sounds like prison. Church is supposed to be something where we're building relationships with each other and we're actually working to move closer to Jesus. There's movement that's supposed to happen. There's movement that's supposed to happen. You're sitting here and you've been coming to the church service and you've been checking the box year after year, but you're not involved in anything else. I'm going to challenge you right now. And I don't know who you are. I'm shooting buckshot out here. So don't come to me and say, Nathan, you were preaching right at me. I really wasn't. Get involved. Get involved. You struggle with anxiety in your life, but you're not using your church family to help you because you're not involved and ever seen except an hour on Sunday. And this is not enough. Don't be plastic. Don't be a pew sitter. It'll make a difference in your anxiety levels. Going through the motions can create depression and anxiety. Just ask Solomon in Ecclesiastes. When you read that, he says, the sun rises and it sets again, and then it rises again and it sets. And life is a Ferris wheel, and it just goes around and around and around. And Solomon, all wise and mighty Solomon, is struggling with depression and anxiety because he's not being intentional about his life. Same happens with us. Not only that, but your imagination. Look, there's an amazing part of your mind called your imagination. Everybody say imagination. Your mind is the most valuable asset that you have, and one of the biggest parts of your mind is your imagination. You remember when, Jesus, he says for us to have a childlike what? Life and faith. We're to have childlike faith. What does that look like? It looks like thinking and imagining like a child. You remember when you used to go around and you'd make up lyrics to songs? And you'd sing it so out of tune, but you didn't even care? You'd go up to strangers and just talk to them whenever. Kind of scary nowadays, but still, you would, because you weren't worried. You were stress-free. You used to make up songs. You used to make up stories. You used to go out. You'd make up games. And then you get your parents to come play it, and they had no idea what was really going on, but they're like, oh, good job, little Johnny, that's great. And you made up games, you had fun, you had an imagination that was playful. You remember those days? Because now that same imagination is not imagining about the playful things and the fun things and the unstressful things. All it's imagining is the worst case scenarios. The same imagination is still being used by you, but there's no room left for playful fun and enjoying the little things of life anymore, because I've got all this worry and all this anxiety that's weighing me down. Is anybody else there with me this morning? Learn how to imagine again. And if you're struggling to figure out what I'm talking about, I'm going to challenge you to just find Josh Whaley and Mark Mejia and hang around them for about 10 minutes. Those guys have got it down. But in all seriousness, I'm not kidding. They really do. I went out to eat with them, you know, and that's just a checkbox kind of thing. You just go sit down. It was no normal experience. It's fun. It was fun, but some of you might even look at Josh is over there. He's like looking at me now intent. He's like, dude, that guy's talking about shaking his head like, I'm going to get you later. I'll never live this moment down, by the way, but I'm still willing to do it because I believe it's true. Do you want to know something? For the past like month, do you know that he's been word bombing my sermons? Y'all don't even know what that means, do you? That's what I called it in my youth group. He says, I want you to throw this word in there this morning. Remember last week when I said hombres? Yeah, that was Josh. He said, that's my challenge to you. You got to say hombres in your lesson. This morning was ladder. I mean, it's been going on for about a month. This is what my youth group used to do with me. What's he doing? It's just this fun imagination. Just play. Just have fun. Enjoy life. It's the little things. Don't worry. And I know it may sound silly, but that's my point. When's the last time that you've been a little ridiculous? Because the grace of God is supposed to bring joy in your life. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say what? Joy. Have fun. Church is supposed to be fun and enjoyable. Not only that, you're worried about your worry. Actually, I got to use this illustration. I was driving in the mountains. I know I'm out of time, guys. I was driving in the mountains, though, and there's this sign. As I'm driving along on the side of the road, you know what it said? Beware, falling rocks. What does that sign want me to do with that information? What is it really trying to communicate to me? Beware of falling rocks. You know, like, what am I going to do with that? And maybe they're trying to say that there could be rocks in the road that you're going to have to swerve around. I'm on a mountain. I'm going to die. That sign's not doing anything for me except creating worry in my life. My worry is not going to hold that rock up there. My worry's not going to keep me safe. My worry is just going to make me more stressed and less enjoying the trip. And if that's going to happen, listen, it's just my time to go. You with me? But our imagination is so caught up in these things that could happen. What if this? What if that? What if this? Oh, I've got these things to do. I've got to do this tomorrow. Oh, I think I texted somebody. And sometimes, listen, here's how ridiculous that worry can get. Sometimes I find myself stressed and worried because I'm not worried. Man, I feel like I've got to do something, but I can't remember what it is. Oh, what is it? And instead of enjoying what's in front of me, I'm worried about not worrying about what I should be worrying about. Falling rocks. Why are we anxious? Well, because we used to enjoy the little things, and now we walk around stressed about the things that we have no control over. It's our imagination. And last thing, we can't stop on six. That's the number of man. Here's number seven. Isolation. Isolation. You're stressed and you're worried about the stuff in your life that you're having to juggle. And sometimes these glass balls, they're really big, and they're taking up a lot of room. Taking up a lot of room in my mind. And by the way, don't get so overwhelmed with doing all this that you take up all this space up here with worry and you leave no room for God. You got to leave room for God up there. But isolation is the key. Listen, this is the most important, and that's why I'm saving it for last, because isolation is key to worry. When you hold it in and you're alone, that's why, by the way, that's why every week you hear me preaching so hard about our connect groups. That's why we're doing the college class that we started this morning, college age class, because we want to create a place where we can be together and talk about real things that are really going on. No plastic people. We're real here. And here's what's going on in my life. No isolation, because isolation is where worry wins. Satan wants nothing more than you to isolate yourself, go home and take a nap and sleep off the things that are worrying you rather than calling somebody and open up about what's going on. Send that text message. Make that phone call. Find that person. Go out to eat with them. Come to church. Go to Connect Group. Get involved. Don't battle this thing alone. Now listen, I told you this wasn't going to be a normal Sunday, and I know that some of you are hungry, and I know some of you are tired, and you've had things going on in your life, so I want to be sensitive to that. But I also don't want to just leave this lesson here. I want to challenge us in a new way. And so what we're going to do in just a second is we're going to sing an invitation song. Don't pack up your stuff yet. We're going to sing an invitation song. And we're going to ask to respond. And I'm going to challenge you. Come on. Whatever it is that you wrote down on your paper, whatever you've got, if you want the prayers of the church, if you don't want to battle this thing alone, come on. Come down here onto this front row and let us know what's going on. We're going to say a prayer over you. But that's not it, because I know some of you, we don't take that step for some reason. Never have, and it feels strange, and that's okay. I understand. So I'm going to create something new. We have our elders in the back as these responses happen. You've got a piece of paper that's got worries. I pray you put them down. But even if you didn't, they're still in your head and your heart. So what we're going to do is, after the invitation song, after the shepherd's prayer, after the closing prayer and everything else is done, we're going to create an environment in here where we can pray over each other for those worries. Okay? You with me on that? And so some of you, you've got to leave. You've got things you got to do. And so if you're just going to talk about where you're going to go to lunch and that kind of stuff, I'm going to ask that's great. Fellowship with each other, but do that out there. Because in here, I want to create an atmosphere of prayer for just a little bit. And this could be 2 minutes or this could be 30 minutes. I don't know what it's going to look like. It may even feel a little awkward at first, because maybe you've never done something like this. But you see somebody sitting on a pew with their piece of paper. Because look, if you're not going to open up with somebody else, just pray to God. Start there. And if you see somebody sitting by themselves, I want you to go up. I want you to place your hand on their back or on their shoulder or sit next to them, put your arm around them, and I want you to say a prayer with that person. Just pray in for whatever's going on in their life. We're going to respond together as a church. I'm all about that, because isolation is where worry wins. You with me? So that's what this is going to look like. And I you only get out of this what you put into this. This can be something where you all just leave and don't participate in it, or it could be something great. And I don't know which it's going to be, because it's not my choice. But I'm going to choose to open up with those of you who stay here and let you know what's going on in my life and things I'm worried about. And I hope that you'll do the same with me. But we're not just going to do that, but we're also going to have an invitation, because it's really important to have the prayers of the whole church as well. And so we're going to give you that opportunity now. So if there's something that you want to talk about, something you need to respond to, won't you come and do that as together we stand and sing.